6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, coming at you from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. It is Monday, October 16th, and several of us are filling in this week for our friend Bill Buckmaster. On Saturday, I'd guess maybe more than 300 people gathered at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church for a memorial service for Ann Birch Buckmaster, Bill's wife of more than 51 years. She passed away in August, and it was just a wonderful time of sharing memories, singing, absolutely incredible choir at St. Philip's in the Hills, thoughtful scripture, honoring the life of just a very remarkable woman. So, Bill, on behalf of all of us who attended, thank you. The Buckmaster Show comes to you live Monday through Friday at noon, and you can check out all of Bill's past shows or the live stream at buckmastershow.com. We're going to take our Monday one-on-one and stretch it to the full hour today because the topic is certainly deserving. Feel free to join the conversation. If you have a question or comment, you can reach us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And this is a good time to remind you that the Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom-framed mirrors, wall art, picture framing, hanging services, and systems, you name it, Moe's has it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and you can find them on Facebook. I want to welcome two guests to the show now. Harbhajan Khalsa is the director of Dementia Capable Southern Arizona. Welcome to you.
Hi, good afternoon.
Nicole Thomas is the community education specialist with Dementia Capable Southern Arizona. It's great to have you here, Nicole.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I told our listeners we're going to have a topic worth the full hour, and dementia is something that almost certainly will touch all of us directly or indirectly at some point. I know it has touched my life. My mother had what I guess I would call early onset dementia in her late 60s, and that was quite a journey for our family. So we're going to get into just all different aspects of dementia. As I said earlier, you are most welcome to join the conversation. Harbhajan, Dementia-Capable Southern Arizona has started a campaign to educate people on Alzheimer's and related dementias, and our newspaper, the Green Valley News, is covering much of that effort in a series that has proven very valuable to readers and very popular. We're getting a lot of calls on it. Before we get into that campaign, though, tell us about Dementia-Capable Southern Arizona.
So Dementia-Capable Southern Arizona, or DCSA, is a program that's anchored at Pima Council on Aging. So Pima Council on Aging, for those of you that are not familiar, is a local nonprofit. We have been around since 1967, and we are the area agency on aging for Pima County. So we provide services for older adults and their families and their caregivers. We typically serve folks that are 60 years of age or older, and we target people with the greatest economic and social need. So just to back up a little bit, we provide a lot of services at PCOA.
Right.
And one of the things that they were looking at was, what are we not doing? That's one of the things that's great about PCOA. We do all these great services, but what are the areas we don't have services in yet? And so they had conversations that said, well, we're not doing anything in the dementia world. What can we do? How can we help? How can we fill the gaps? Because there are wonderful community partners doing a lot, but there are still needs. And so that's how Dementia Capable Southern Arizona was created. The program has been up and running for 3 years. Mm-hmm. We have initial funding currently through the Administration for Community Living. So we have a federal grant for that. And we provide a wide variety of services for people with dementia and their family members. As you mentioned earlier, one of the big things we're focusing on is community education. Dementia is not a fun topic. It is not an exciting topic. People don't like to talk about it. But as you said, it is something that touches almost every single one of us in one way or another. So we want to provide education, let the community know this is something that's going on. And while it can be scary, you're not alone. And there's support and services to help.
And I can tell you, having gone through this ourselves with my mom, you do feel alone a lot of times. Yes. Particularly when it's, in a sense, sprung on you, and it's the last thing you think you'll be dealing with. Nicole, I know that you have hands-on been involved in a lot of the current education push. Can you tell us how that came about? And Harbhajan mentioned that it is from a grant, and how is it being played out?
So my role as the community education specialist is primarily doing those presentations, gathering the information, presenting it. One of the most frequent that I do is a Dementia Friends presentation, which is just a 1 hour, and for anyone in the community to just kind of get that topic going, because again, there is not a lot of talk about it for something that is so incredibly prevalent, has affected so many people, even very well-known people. There's not a lot of conversation around it. So getting more information, just kind of introductory out there, getting people talking about it. And then I also have more in-depth presentations that I do specifically for caregivers with some caregiving tips. What are some of the common behaviors that you might see, some of the issues you might encounter, what actual brain changes are happening, what is happening in this process, so they can get an understanding, a better understanding of their family, their loved ones. So I handle all of that kind of education component there.
So the Dementia Friends is really just kind of a dementia 101 for people who've heard about it, but they really have not experienced it yet with family members or friends or the neighbor or something like that.
Yes, and the Dementia Friends, we are trying to get to everyone. So it's not just, yeah, for the family, caregivers, neighbors. It is for everyone in the community. We want to create a dementia-friendly community and resources. It is a very, very isolating disorder, and we want people to continue being able to be involved in the community, receiving the services that they want. If they, you know, want to reach out to other people, they just want a haircut. Maybe we are training barbers who can
sure.
use those communication tips. They want to go eat at a restaurant. Let's have some dementia-friendly restaurants. Everyone in the community being trained in Dementia Friends is the ultimate goal.
And we mentioned that a lot of us are going to face this, and the Dementia Friends is a great opportunity before it happens to you, before you're staring mm-hmm. it down. Get a little bit of information, because trust me, the fog clears and with information, and it helps you move forward. So what exactly are we talking about, kind of a by the numbers, the amount of people with dementia and the tough question, I know you're not medical personnel, but what brings it on?
So worldwide, there are currently an estimated 55 million people who have some type of dementia. In the U.S. specifically, Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia. There's about 6.7 million people in the U.S. right now living with Alzheimer's disease. There are currently theories as far as what brings it on. The general consensus is just changes of the brain, an accumulation of proteins specifically mm-hmm. with Alzheimer's especially. There's not one single thing that we can say, do this and you won't get dementia, mm-hmm. don't do this and you won't get it. There are risk factors that I can go through as far as what can reduce the risk. But right now, there is not one definitive answer as far as you will or you won't get it.
We have really come a long way. Even in my lifetime, I remember as a kid, people or myself referring to old people as senile and or demented, or these words that just meant that really what it meant was, I don't understand that, I kind of fear this and I don't get it. But now there seems to be so much more understanding, certainly no stigma, at least I hope. And particularly, you know, like I said, I've gone through it, so it's maybe I look at it a little bit differently. But we are much more open to talking about this, correct?
Yes, I would say so. I think that's part of what Nicole is really working on doing, is helping break that stigma. Well, you know, we work in older adult services, and mm-hmm. so there is less stigma in the work we do. But I'll speak personally. Before I worked at PCOA, I didn't even know it existed. I didn't even know that these services were available. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a piece of it that's stigma. And then I think there's a piece of it that's, well, I'm not there yet. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to think about it. And so folks just put it out of their mind. And so I think it's less for us about breaking the stigma. It's just education and having people understand that this is something that's out there. This is something that's impacting millions and millions of people. And it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask questions and know that you're not alone.
But despite the fact that we're trying to educate people and inform and them about this, there really is no cookie cutter experience here. Those with dementia have behaviors and habits that sometimes can be predictable. We get it, but they greatly vary. It can't be like this person's been diagnosed with dementia, therefore this is what's going to happen. That simply isn't the case.
No, there are no two people with dementia. There's a saying that when you know one person with dementia, you know, one person with dementia. Mm-hmm. No two people are going to have exactly the same experience. They could be diagnosed with the same type of dementia on the same day. They will not have the exact same progression, the same symptoms, the same severity. So it's very one-by-one basis.
Okay, very good. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. You can find Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona is open Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch. Treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including the famous Danish Kringle. Find Mona's at monasdanishbakery.com or go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio, and our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I'm Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and the 780 Sun, and we are giving the bill the week off. You've joined us in the middle of the Monday One-on-One interview with Harbhajan Khalsa and Nicole Thomas of Dementia Capable Southern Arizona, a group that's doing some very important work in our part of the state. And Nicole, some of what you have been covering in this current education effort has been really kind of some basics about dementia, you know, sundowning, redirecting, how to approach those who have dementia, dealing with agitation, that type of stuff. Can you go over a couple of these? And I don't know if it's kind to call them tips or tricks or whatever, but how do you deal with this stuff?
Okay, so these are several hours worth of, yeah, of presentations here.
And you got 2 minutes.
So, yeah. The biggest thing I would say to keep in mind with a lot of this is that their reality is not our reality. And you are not going to be able to reorient them to our reality. You are not going to win an argument with dementia, because at this point you are not arguing with a person's logic. You are not arguing with that person. You're not convincing them. You could be 100% correct in what you want and what you are saying. You are arguing with dementia, and you are not going to win that argument.
Mm-hmm.
So not going in, that is probably one of the biggest things I would say. Adjusting expectations, having realistic expectations as much as possible for yourself, for them, not expecting everything to be, this is the way that we've always done it, this is how it will continue doing it. It used to take them 10 minutes to get ready, so I'm going to keep expecting them to get ready in 10 minutes. A lot of the time, adjusting your own expectations will get a lot better results and save you a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, so explain sundowning for us. A lot of people use the term, but how many of us really understand it?
So sundowning is called that because the levels of confusion, of agitation, will increase the later that it gets in the day. It's another one that there's not just one specific thing, one specific behavior that they're necessarily doing. A lot of the time it's that agitation, the risk of wandering kind of goes along with sundowning, but it increases as it gets darker. So that's where that name comes from.
So it's literal.
It literally, as the sun is going down, they're getting more confused, more agitated.
And we talked about redirecting those with dementia. In a sense, is this distracting them?
I would say it very, very much is, kind of distracting them. In some ways, almost using some of the memory loss, some of the having trouble keeping a straight train of thought to our advantage, because we can redirect to something else pretty quickly, and they're not likely to, we were just talking about this. If we're doing something else now, I can kind of use that to my advantage to shift the activity, shift the conversation somewhere else.
Well, when we were dealing with my mom, we had 3 young children in the home, and we set them down and we said, you are going to hear us lie to grandma over and over and over. And they understood. And that was a really hard thing for me, because it was certainly not what we were teaching our children. But if grandma thinks that her mom's coming to pick her up, her mother who died 20 years ago, we would say, yep, she's going to be here. And then in 10 minutes, I would say, she called and she can't make it today, but she is going to be here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go take a nap. So that was very hard for me. So Harbhajan, you say that you are you're constantly talking at PCOA about what services do we not offer. Does anyone offer anything that helps young children understand this?
So there is actually a facet of Dementia Friends that is geared towards children, because you're right, it is a very different type of conversation that needs to be had. And there are so many intergenerational households now where you have parents, children, grandparents all living under one roof. And so part of the Dementia Friends training is there are different modules and different sectors. So, you know, a training for a grocery store is going to be different than a training for a school. And mm-hmm. so there are modules and kind of edits to the training that are specific for younger children, high school students. And so that is something that we are long-term working on, is how can we get this information and education out there. It's not meant to scare the kids. It's just meant to provide that understanding of, we're going to meet grandpa where he's at. And today it's 1975.
Right.
And that's where we're going to go.
Right.
And so it's just about having those conversations. And so there is a lot of information online, and, you know, folks can always reach out to us if they have questions about this. We're always here to help.
Well, I'm curious, you just mentioned training for grocery stores. What does this look like?
So it's just, it's the Dementia Friends training. So Dementia Friends comes from, it's actually a national model that stems from the United Kingdom. So it's called Dementia Friendly America. And so, as Nicole had talked about, we're creating communities that are dementia friendly. So every sector of the community has some base education and training. So if I'm living with dementia and I go to the grocery store, the goal is that those staff who are working there have gone through the one-hour Dementia Friends training. They're not an expert, mm-hmm. but they have some understanding in their mind that, oh, this person is looking a little confused, or they've repeated themselves a few times, or they're starting to get agitated because I don't know what they're trying to say. And you have just a few tools in your toolbox that you can use with them. And so there's different specific trainings for, like I said, grocery stores, banks, of just, it gives them examples of things they could see with somebody with dementia and how they could help them.
And based on what you were just saying, for a time, and we did this, a person with dementia can live on their own for a time. Nicole, is that, how do you decide it's time to change that?
It is really kind of goes to those, if we're looking at a three-stage model as far as early, middle, and late stages of dementia, a lot of people in the early stages are still living independently. That's one of the reasons why the early screenings and diagnosis are a good thing, so that if they are living alone, there is someone kind of keeping an eye, someone kind of monitoring things, so that it's not after the fact, this should have happened 3 months ago. We can kind of be proactive about it. Early on, though, they are still able to live pretty independently. Just kind of needs to be something that's monitored.
Right, just mm-hmm. making sure that you're getting
safety,
ahead of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest lesson we learned in our family was anticipation, and that is knowing what's going to come next and then getting ready for it before it happens. And that really served us this well. Harbhajan, I think one of the best questions that we've asked on this topic in the last, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years is, who's caring for the caregiver? Mm-hmm. That is no longer being overlooked. And what are you doing to help deal with that?
So you're absolutely right. You can't pour from an empty cup. And so a lot of times caregivers put their needs on the back burner, and it's very understandable. And so there's a variety of services that we offer through PCOA for caregiving support. We have one-on-one caregiver consultation where caregivers can actually meet individually with a staff member of PCOA and get individual support. We offer caregiver training. We also have caregiver support groups, both in person and online, so that caregivers can kind of have an ear, have a community of support around them. Additionally, we offer respite services. So that's where a paid professional would come into the home through an in-home care provider and look after your loved one while you could get a break. So you could go get your hair cut, go to the doctor's, take a nap. So there's wonderful services. And if anyone is interested, you can call the PCOA helpline at 520-790-7262. And they'll be able to provide more information and do a direct referral for our caregiver services.
Nicole, sometimes caregivers are their own worst enemy, though. They feel like, for one reason, whether it's guilt, responsibility, mm-hmm. whatever, that they must be the one 24/7.
Yes, there's a big sense, I feel, of obligation.
Sure.
I have to do this. Their priority over myself. And what we see a lot, especially with dementia caregivers, is they are becoming what are called secondary patients. The caregivers of dementia patients end up getting sick and sometimes passing away before the person that they are caring for because they have not been caring for themselves.
Okay. And Harbhajan, you mentioned a phone number, and I just want to make sure we get that out a couple of times. What line are you talking about, and what's the number again?
So we have a PCOA helpline. So this is the entry point to our services for all PCOA. This is where we direct pretty much everyone to go to. It is manned by dedicated PCOA staff. If they don't answer, it's because they're on the other line. We get thousands and thousands of phone calls. And that number is 520-790-7262. And you can leave a message if they don't answer. They get back promptly. And so what those staff do is they listen to you, figure out, okay, what are your exact needs? And then kind of siphon you to the correct place, because the internet is overwhelming. There's mm-hmm. too much on it. And sometimes you need a person to direct you. And that's what those staff members do.
Okay, and if someone wanted to find out more about PCOA or your program in particular, what is the website?
So our general website is pcoa.org, or for our program specifically, Dementia Capable Southern Arizona, that is dcsa.pcoa.org.
Okay, we're going to continue the conversation after the break, but the information that Harbhajan just gave out is a starting point. So we will be back. Just a reminder to you that our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. And this is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio. We'd love you to join us for this important conversation on dementia. You can reach us on our lifeline, made possible by Rincon Ventures, at 520-790-2040. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. Are you looking for a great vacation spot? Our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, would love to host you just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and a whole lot more. Learn everything you need to know at southwestnewmexico.org. If you're just joining us, we are extending our Monday one-on-one with Harbhajan Khalsa and Nicole Thomas of Dementia Capable Southern Arizona. And Harbhajan, November is National Family Caregivers Month, and you guys have something going on in tandem with this.
Yes, thank you so much. So in November, on Wednesday, November 15th, we have a caregiver appreciation event called Belief in Yourself. It is going to be Wednesday, November 15th at Reed Park from 1 to 3:30. We are still in the process of getting out flyers for that, but if you're interested, you can call the PCOA helpline at 520-790-7262. There are going to be a lot of different events for caregivers. There's going to be activities, some raffles, and it's just going to be a wonderful time for caregivers to come out and feel the love and appreciation.
Yeah, get out there and start learning, I tell you. Harbhajan, also, tell me what options counseling is.
So options counseling is one of the services that we offer through Dementia Capable Southern Arizona. So options counseling, envision short-term case management. So we have two certified bilingual options counselors who meet with folks one-on-one who are either in the process of getting a dementia diagnosis, who have questions about what to expect as they go through this journey. We really provide a little bit of everything. So what it looks like is folks give us a call and we complete a memory screening. As Nicole talked about earlier, we're really focusing on early diagnosis. It is extremely important for folks to try and get diagnosed as early as possible. While there is not a cure yet for dementia, being able to get support services in place as soon as possible can really help the individual and their family. So we complete a memory screening, and then we can enroll folks in our program where we create a tailored, personal-centered plan for them. So we figure out what are their dementia-specific needs. For example, a lot of times we get folks calling us who just are starting to notice the first signs of memory loss, and we'll do a screening, and it does indicate that there are some concerns. So we work with them through that journey. We help them, if they have a PCP, we help them make the next appointment, or we connect them with a neurologist and kind of walk this journey with them. We also do a large focus on end-of-life care planning, because with dementia, you know, we want to get your wishes written down on paper as soon as possible, because a lot of times people don't like to have those conversations, but the disease can move very quickly in some, and it can take away your ability to express what you want to have happen at the end of your life. So we work through all of that.
But for older people, you know, who I've been doing this since I was 12, walking into a room and forgetting why, you know. And so, you know, what's that old saying? If you misplaced your car keys, don't worry. If you forget what a car key does,
yes.
maybe you want to. But you just said, though, that, you know what, jump on it early, because it can, if it is dementia, it can move rapidly. And just ask some questions. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. And the biggest thing is, like, you're not alone. We've got support. We've got assistance. If you're concerned about your memory, or if you're concerned about your loved one's memory, give us a call. We can do a quick memory screening. It's not a diagnostic, but it's just to create a baseline to understand, are there concerns of memory loss? Is this something we need to be talking about now and putting plans in place?
Nicole, education is power. Give us the three stages of dementia. I know, again, this is one of those you can go for an hour, but what do they look like in each as it progresses?
So I usually use a three-stage model that's just early, middle, and late. One of the kind of tricky things with this, it is not always linear. one day you might, I'm kind of having middle stage symptoms here. Oh, maybe things are improving. It's not necessarily going to be a perfectly linear path here. The early stages, though, there's mild cognitive decline, kind of just more frequent memory lapses. Short-term memory is more affected. In the earlier stages, a lot of times people are still functioning independently, and people can either be on one end of the spectrum or the other, where they're very concerned. I forgot something. Oh, what if I have dementia? I must have dementia, because, you know, things that are pretty normal. Or the other end, what can happen a lot of the times is they're not getting an early diagnosis because they're writing things off as normal aging that are not part of normal aging. So cognitive decline is not a part of normal aging. Early stages, still pretty mild. As they're moving into the middle stages, there's more moderate cognitive decline. At that point is when there should be 24/7 supervision. So you're not necessarily providing hands-on care, but someone should be in kind of in the vicinity, keeping an eye on things around the clock. The middle stage is the longest, typically, and also the most stressful and busiest for the caregivers generally. There's kind of a peak as far as some of the behaviors. A lot of this is happening is the longest period. As you're going into the later stages, there's pretty severe cognitive decline. There's no longer any question of, is there something wrong or not? It's very, very noticeable. 24/7 care is recommended at that point. Someone is actually caregiving around the clock at that point.
As I mentioned, when my mom was diagnosed, we went to a couple of conferences just to learn a little bit more about it, and it was very helpful. One of the best pieces of advice I got, and I tell you, my blood pressure just dropped when I got this, was that, hey, if your mom wants ice cream five times a day, give her ice cream five times a day. Don't sweat it. She is not living in our world.
Yeah.
And but sometimes people do things right. Sometimes people do things wrong. Nicole, what have you seen out there?
So the first thing that came to mind when you said, you know, what are people doing wrong? And is kind of a human reaction when someone tells us incorrect information or says something argumentative. Especially, I would say, almost increasingly in our society, the automatic response is, no, I am going to prove you wrong.
Yes.
I'm going to argue. I'm going to try and convince you. Again, kind of going back to, their reality is not our reality. You are not going to win that argument. And you can't control. You can't predict everything. You can't control everything. A lot of the biggest tips as far as what you, there's not really necessarily you're going to do this wrong. The best things that you can kind of do, again, are adjusting your own expectations of yourself, not trying to control everything, because you will drive yourself crazy in the process. You will drive your blood pressure up. You will have all of these issues trying to control things that are out of your control.
Well, I like how you worded it earlier. You can't argue with dementia.
Yeah. You're not arguing with the person anymore. Yeah. It's not a logical prove your case and they will be convinced. No.
Absolutely. I'm going to throw you a huge curveball, and it's a serious question to either one of you. Can animals get dementia? And do you ever hear about this?
I have actually seen articles about it. I have not researched it extensively, though.
Okay.
I have seen articles about them getting it.
I know in Green Valley that would actually be a big topic because, you know, we have a lot of people have their animal friends and they keep them a good long time. And so that's just something to watch for. It is. I talked to a veterinarian recently about it, and it's a very real thing. It's very, very interesting. So, again, what I had mentioned earlier, what served us well when we were dealing with my mom was anticipating, just getting ahead of things. For example, she's going to start wandering, so we need to put locks on the doors and need to make sure she has ID on her all the time. Mm-hmm. We were rarely surprised after we kind of learned that trick. Yet, this is a disease that surprises you every day, and it absolutely just runs you down. It Absolutely. Just runs you down. And
very
so,
unpredictable.
Yeah, education is just so important on this. So I really appreciate what you're doing. So Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio with our guests from Dementia Capable Southern Arizona. Good people doing great work. Please join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a beautiful 13-acre site that is also home to Socolo Village and all of their fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and socolovillage.com. We're heading into our final segment with Harbhajan Khalsa and Nicole Thomas of Dementia Capable Southern Arizona. And we would be remiss if we did not bring up that in July, the FDA fully approved the Alzheimer's drug Leqembi. It was the first time that a drug meant to slow the progression of the disease has been granted full regulatory approval by the FDA. Harbhajan, big moment?
Huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge. It's been really amazing to see the momentum that has been happening around research and drugs for Alzheimer's disease. And I am really excited to see where it keeps going. It really highlights the necessity for the clinical research trials that are going on these days, because without those, we wouldn't have Leqembi.
Well, let me quote from one of the stories written about it. In a phase 3 clinical trial of about 1,800 patients with mild cognitive impairment or early stage disease, progression of the illness was slowed by 27% over an 18-month period. So people still decline. They just decline at a much slower rate. And the clinical trial focused on six areas: memory, orientation, judgment, problem solving, community affairs, home and hobbies, and personal care. So that is big. Leqembi is something you can look up online, see more about it. We hope to do more in our paper about that also. So one thing we do hear a lot about, and this is an import from overseas, is memory cafes. And so Harbhajan, tell us about these things.
So memory cafes are wonderful. I cannot say enough good things about them. So they actually stem from the Netherlands, and then from there they went to the UK, and then they migrated over here. So memory cafes are socialization spaces for people living with dementia and their caregivers. I like to specify that they're not respite and they're not support groups. That's not what the intention is. If you envision a space with like-minded people where the staff are trained and understand what you're going through, and you can walk through the door and leave your diagnosis at the door. It's not a space where we're going to educate you about dementia and what to expect. It's a space where you can connect with other people who are going through the exact same thing that you're going through, who understand better than anybody else what's happening and what your life is looking like. And so each cafe is different. Every community has different types of cafes. We are very excited that we were able to launch the first memory cafe in Pima County in partnership with La Posada Centers in Green Valley. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of music. A lot of memory cafes we've seen focus a lot with music because music is so therapeutic for people living with dementia. And so what you can expect from a cafe is typically it's you come in, there's snacks, of course, there's coffee and beverages, and it's a space where you can connect, chit-chat. Sometimes there's activities, arts and crafts. I know La Posada just had a magician. A lot of times we do music, sing-alongs, just different ways to bring joy and connection to others.
And I want to go back to what you said, because really everybody goes. You're not dropping anybody off.
Correct.
And it is a great place to just swap information.
Yeah. And one of the most beautiful things I've seen, so we have soon to be 4 memory cafes in Pima County. We have one at La Posada Centers, one at the AARP office in Northwest Tucson, one at our PCOA office on Broadway and Country Club. And then the newest one is opening in partnership with United Methodist Church of Green Valley. So soon there will be 2 in the Green Valley area. And as you said, it's a place for connection. We had a cafe last week and there were 2 couples, and they've been to several cafes. And at the end of the cafe, they were literally swapping phone numbers on napkins because they had made a connection and they wanted to get together and get coffee later.
Yeah, and we have covered these in our newspaper, and we'll continue to do so because it's just help for the community. So gvnews.com, you're going to find out some information about that. But also, we can't put it out there enough. Give us the number.
It's so there's 2 places you can find out about memory cafes. You can visit dcsa.pcoa.org or call the PCOA helpline at 520-790-7262.
Okay, very good. And we're going to repeat that one more time before we say goodbye here in a few minutes. Nicole, your picture has been in our paper so many times.
Yes,
because
I'm
you
quite
are
the
busy.
Celebrity now.
You are,
yes.
and you're doing great things. And so tell us again about the trainings. We know that they were based on a grant, and what has gone on and what's going to go on, and how can people jump on board?
So doing a few of the most common and most popular series coming up. One this week on the 19th that's online that goes through the Dementia Friends basic information, but then has another tacked on part of kind of preparing for the holiday season, some considerations with that. But I'll be doing Dementia Friends both in English and Spanish. I have online presentations on Zoom that I can do or in person at the PCOA building, the Katie on Country Club. I also have a 2-part series, a memory loss series, that is more geared toward the caregivers with the progression? What are some of those common behaviors? What are ways to approach that? Some ideas for activities, meaningful activities throughout the day, kind of giving them some tools, some preparation with that. Those are also, there are online and in-person ones.
Okay, so if people can't make one of those, are you guys taping these and posting them? Or how can people get?
We're not doing that yet, but mm-hmm. Nicole, we can do necessary training, so folks can reach out to us and we can schedule trainings for businesses. As long as we have a large enough group, we can schedule trainings outside of the normal schedule that Nicole has. Our hope is that we can start filming and having things available online. Mm-hmm. We just aren't quite there yet. We're a pretty small team. We're just four folks, so yeah. We've got a long list of to-dos.
Well, you're doing some very valuable work, and I appreciate it. And Nicole, you mentioned something that just got me thinking here, the holidays and how this can be a very confusing time, you know, to have people knock on your door and you open it and they're mm-hmm. wearing scary costumes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't even think about that. Mm-hmm. How do you prepare for the holidays if you have someone in your home with dementia?
Some of that, you know, not having the trick-or-treating, sometimes adjusting some of the traditions that you've done, especially if they are experiencing sundowners, maybe instead of a big dinner, we're doing an earlier lunch, lights, things that make noise, you know, a lot of decorations that you go past them and they suddenly make noise, kind of things that we don't necessarily think about, you need to start kind of considering a little bit more.
Okay, very good. And again, really every aspect of your life, you know. And mm-hmm. so do people who have dementia prefer routine?
Yes, if you go to the two-part, the memory loss series for caregivers, they probably get pretty sick of hearing me say the word routine. But that is one of the most important things that you can do to help yourself, to help them, is building a predictable routine.
And we know that there are some people in the medical field who do not deal with this, people with dementia mm-hmm. every day, and they may offer advice, and sometimes we think a doctor is always going to mm-hmm. be right, but sometimes they're not. Mm-hmm. And we need to really be advocates for that person in our family with dementia, even if it means saying no to certain things. Are you seeing some reluctance on the part of some people in these situations?
I think part of that goes back to the realistic expectations sometimes, and that can be with doctors as well. Doctors, medical professionals are not experts in every area. A regular medical doctor might not be specifically trained with expertise in dementia, and you absolutely have to advocate for what is best for them, what is best for you. Yeah, the more prepared you can be, the better.
Harbhajan, you have this grant. It will run its course at some point. What's next?
Another grant. so that's actually, we are ending our first funding round with Administration for Community Living in January. And then we have been fortunate. We're in the process of applying for a couple of other local grants. And then we will be applying for another 3-year grant through Administration for Community Living next year. So our hope is to continue this. This work is not ending. And so our goal is to figure out ways that we can sustain it long term, because this is a need in our community and it will only continue to grow.
If you have this need in your family, is Tucson a good place to be for support?
Yes. Tucson, there are a lot of support services. I mean, every community is different, of mm-hmm. course, but in Tucson we have, you know, Tucson is a small town. I mean, it's I always say it's the largest small town I know. Yep. And people care, neighbors care, people care about who they have in their family and in their community. So it's a really, really wonderful place to live. And we have Pima Council on Aging, which has a vast, vast variety of resources that can provide support to you and to your family.
Very good. Well, we just spent an hour with Harbhajan Khalsa and Nicole Thomas of Dementia Capable Southern Arizona, and it went way too fast. I told you it would.
Yes.
One more time, give our listeners a reminder of where they can learn more.
You can call our helpline at 520-790-7262 or visit our website at dcsa.pcoa.org for more information.
Very good. Thank you both so much for being here. Very valuable information.
Thank you.
Sir. You can also go to gvnews.com, where you can read our series on dementia-capable Southern Arizona's current and ongoing education efforts. We are covering those closely. I'm going to be back in this seat on Friday talking to Carlos Valles. He is the head of the Sawadita Food Bank and Resource Center. They have a lot going on with that organization and their outreach efforts. On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, and especially my friend John Couch on the other side of the glass, and producer Rosemary Brandt, you make it a great rest of your Monday.